Helen.
And I'm Liz.
And we're sisters,
scientists,
and lifelong X-Files fans.
And this is We Want to Believe.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are in our office slash house. Our offices slash houses. I'm in an
the
office.
The secret's out. Helen lives in her office. It's her office slash house.
I mean, sometimes it doesn't feel it that doesn't, far off.
Yeah.
I do, you know, have a space for napping when necessary. I have a cold. That's why I sound
oh,
like
God,
this.
Oh, God, you still do. God.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Am I going to get away with not having this cold? I spent all weekend with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Tough call. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And Adam was at a derby tournament all weekend, and our friend Wolf was there. She's got an upper respiratory infection. So we're both just
man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing? It's just a cold?
Just a cold. I mean, I slept a lot still the last low. 2 days. Like, it was, yeah, it knocked me out. But I mean, but still not, you know, no fever, no, you know, okay. I'm just, it's a
that's
cold.
That's good. That's it's, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I missed some of the fun end of semester stuff. Like, I'm feeling healthy enough today to be at work where I have to do like our last academic Senate meeting of the year. But I missed like the party yesterday.
Oh man.
Yeah. So that's kind of a bummer, but
yeah,
almost there. Almost there. When are you done?
Oh God, we got like another 2+ weeks or something. So,
and then finals?
Or two no, plus including weeks with... finals. Including finals. Okay. Yeah. We've got like a week and a half and then finals. So
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the time this airs, I will be almost a finals week. So
man. Yeah.
And then I go to Europe that Sunday.
So, yes. And we will be taking a break while you're in Europe.
Yes, we will. Yep. So this is the final episode of our season 2, X-Files seasons 2 and part of 3, but it's We Want to Believe season 2. We'll be taking a break. We'll be back towards the end of the summer.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Depending on if and when I am in Europe, we're
right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I may be going to Germany for work. So, so we'll have to see.
Yeah. So before we get into talking about the episode, I think I wanted to finish with one last tale from Chicago of kind of our last experience on our trip. I just want to share it with the listeners because I want to share it with the world because it was.
I think I know what it is.
Yeah. So we finished our recording in the car on Sunday, which, by the way, I hope you're all enjoying the much better audio now that we're not recording in a car on a cell phone. And Helen was like, "Oh, I'm pretty tired," and I was like, "Well, I'll put on a podcast, take a nap," and so we were heading to our friend Katie's house in Rockford. The coati that we had brought with us, the little stuffed animal, we were delivering to my goddaughter, Emmy, who is Katie's daughter. And we were going to Katie's house. I had directions up. And she, her daughter, her husband live there. They have a cat.
You have a neighborhood cup of tea appearing mysteriously behind
the
you.
The tea has appeared. Thank you.
Hi, Adam.
She says hi.
I
think so. I had my headphones on. so we're driving there and Helen's asleep. And then we're getting near Katie's neighborhood. And Helen says, "Do you think she'd mind if I just stayed in the car and slept more?" And I was like, no, she won't care. So I pull in the driveway. The garage door is open. Front door is closed. I decide I should go to the front door. I ring the bell. Nobody answers, but I can see through the door that like somebody is moving around inside in the background. So I'm like, okay, well, she's home and she knows we're coming. So rather than just opening the front door, it felt better. Like since the garage door was open, I'm like, maybe she did that because she knows I'm coming. So I go through the garage, open the door to the house. It's unlocked. And I go, "Knock, knock. Hey, I'm here." And, two Yorkies run up to me, which was odd because Katie doesn't have a dog, let alone two Yorkies. And it all happens real fast where I start realizing something's wrong. And a woman says, "Oh, come on in. It's not Katie. I'm in the wrong house. I'm in some other person's house." And I mean, what I can't get over is that she beckoned me inside and that she was like, oh yeah, come on in. So I had gone to Katie's neighbor's house by mistake and walked inside it. And the woman, so I just went, I'm in the wrong house. I'm in the wrong house. Oh, I'm sorry. And I ran away and jumped back in the car laughing and kind of screaming. And Helen was like, what is happening? And I'm like, wrong house, wrong house.
Yeah, that was great. That
Yeah, it
was
was.
great.
I feel like that felt like a classic Liz moment to end up inside somebody else's
It
house.
did. Yeah. I feel like that could have gone so much worse, like for
Yeah,
just
I mean,
lots of reasons. I mean, like many, many, many reasons. Like,
countless. Yeah.
yeah. Both dangerous or amusing, or like, I mean, you know,
Yeah.
yeah,
I mean,
that's
I
really
feel
funny.
like I don't know. I don't know how I did that. But yeah, I think it really blows my mind. I would, if somebody said that to me, I would be like, who are you? Like, I
Yeah.
would be
Oh,
like, I'm gonna get
yeah.
a knife or something. Even if it's some friendly sounding woman, I would be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
So
Yes. Yeah.
I've got that Holden tendency sometimes where like we came home one day, I think from work, and like the neighbor kids were playing in like our driveway kind of, and like we're
Huh.
standing in our yard. And I was like, oh, what are they doing in our yard? Because our driveway is kind of behind our house onto an alley, and they live kind of further down the alley, or our neighborhood calls it a carriage lane. It's an alley. And so I'm just like, what are these kids doing here? And that's when I, thought about me and my friends thinking that the neighbors were
Oh,
vampires and going
yeah.
into their yard. And just like, I mean, as I've talked about on here, we had a club, we had a whole plan. We were trying to look in their house. And so I was
Oh
like,
my
but I
God. Yeah.
deserve whatever I get here
Yeah,
with this.
that's true.
So
Yeah, with respect to neighbor kids.
children. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So this is the final part of the three-parter, right? So
Yes.
season three, episode two.
Two. Yep. So this is Operation, or is it Operation Paperclip? Is that the name of the episode, or is it just Paperclip? It is not that episode. It's just Paperclip. Okay, but it's named after Operation Paperclip, which we've talked about previously. So just to remind you, if it's been a while, Scully was kind of okay. Let's see here. Bill Mulder, Mulder's dad, was killed. We know he was involved in some bad stuff with Cigarette Smoking Man and some other people. In the past, we've seen the syndicate, the group of old white men who seem to control things mysteriously and have something to do with aliens, of whom the Cigarette Smoking Man is a part. The well-manicured man, one of the other people in there, warned Scully, they're going to try to kill you. They'll kill you one of two ways, one of which was have a trusted person come and kill you. And so Skinner shows up and to where Scully is, and they end up with guns pointed at each other.
Right, they're in
And
Mulder's
the
apartment.
Yes, in Mulder's apartment.
Yes.
And heading to Scully's apartment, though, because they also said another way is
Right.
so heading to Scully's apartment is her sister Melissa, and she gets shot by Krycek, I believe.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
really is doing a number on family members in this
Yeah.
three-parter, which I. It's weird, like the same series sequence of episodes, Mulder's dad and Scully's sister are both killed by Krycek. Like, that's
Yeah, I
pretty.
did not remember that at all.
No,
Like, I knew they both
same.
died, but I would have guessed it
Right.
was later for both of them. And I didn't realize it was like part of the same arc. So
Yeah.
there's some classic scenes in this episode. Oh, I should mention, so this is the one that starts with Albert, the Native American man,
Yeah.
doing he does a thing about like white buffalo, blah,
Oh,
blah,
this is that
blah.
one.
This is the white buffalo one. Yeah. And
Okay.
so this myth about this white buffalo, this woman who kind of came down and kind of taught people how to be virtuous and then turned into a white buffalo and then ascended into the heavens. And so when a white buffalo is born, it's like good and auspicious. And he talks about how like that's the myth of people who lived in the northern plains. It's not the Navajo, it's not his people, but we still notice it. I'm making it sound a lot more blasé than he did. And he says
Sure.
that the white buffalo was there was a white buffalo born on the day that like he brought Mulder back to life. They like did that whole ceremony for him in the blessing way because he was blown up in a train car full of alien bodies. They've all been real busy. So Skinner and Scully have guns pointed at each other. And then Mulder comes in with a gun, which makes sense now that they're in Mulder's apartment.
Yeah. So Mulder, my question was, so where was Mulder again? And okay, so he...
Yeah, coming back from being dead, I guess.
Okay, okay.
So Scully and Mulder haven't seen each other since then. So
Wait, I'm getting lost.
Oh, I might be wrong. Maybe they have. See, I didn't watch that middle episode, so I don't know. I think you're right, based on something Scully says.
I think you're right. They've seen each other since he was treated for being shot. That's what I was thinking of, but not since he was blown up.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I see the confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Mulder who comes in, because the last episode was a cliffhanger where someone like is about to burst in or whatever. Mm. Okay.
All right. It's Mulder. And so he points the gun at Skinner, gets Skinner to drop his gun. And Skinner is like, look, I have the tape. It's good that I have this. There is a classic badass Skinner scene at the end of this episode. Skinner's doing some great stuff. I really feel like have a bigger appreciation for Skinner than I, and I always liked him or whatever, but like, I really feel like I'm appreciating him trying to do his best from the inside or whatever. Like, he does some very brave things with respect to cigarette smoking man.
Oh, cool.
Skinner is like, look, I should keep the tape. We have to use this as leverage against the cigarette smoking man. And so Mulder and Scully kind of go off together, and they're going to go to see the lone gunman and show them that photo that has Bill Mulder in it. Clearly this like old important alien times photo. And so the lone gunman, Frohickey isn't there, but Langley and Byers are. And just by the way, Byers, he looks so much younger than I remember, you know?
I don't know that I've seen him yet.
Oh.
I don't think I've seen Frohickey.
Let that be a lesson to you. That's not quite what I mean. But I feel like, well, I've barely seen X, so.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. X was not in this episode.
Oh, no, really?
No.
Okay. All right.
So Langley and Byers. Oh, Byers, for our listeners, he's the one who has a beard and wears a suit. And so I think as a college student, I'd watch that and think, well, that's an adult. I'll tell you that. Right. And I mean, he is, but he's a young man. I mean, he's probably in his 30s, surely. Lower 30s? That's not a phrase. He's not a temperature. bottom 30s? Early? Early. Oh my God.
Bottom 30s.
So anyhow, they're talking about Operation Paperclip, which we discussed in a previous episode, the program that brought Wernher von Braun over to the US.
After
World War II, which is around the time that this photo was taken. And they point out that another person in the photo is Victor Klemper, who apparently you recognize that game.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, so he is a fictitious Nazi scientist who worked with Mengele. And as we talked about last time, a few episodes ago, when I consulted with my historian of modern Europe, as far as we know, and they were quite open about everything they did do, they did not bring over Nazi doctors, Nazi biologists doing those sorts of experiments. It was the Nazi physicists and engineers under that program. But in this version they do. And so the lone gunman mentioned, oh yeah, Victor Klemper's still alive, he's doing fine. So then Frohickey comes in and he's been listening to a police scanner and he hears about Melissa getting shot and that she's at the hospital. And so it's very touching. He takes off his hat and is like, really, you know, has to deliver the news to Scully. So she's in the hospital, she's not dead yet. Scully's obviously super upset and she's going to go see her, but Mulder's like, okay, they meant to kill you. Yeah. They meant to kill you. And now your sister's in the hospital. They're going to look for you there.
Fair.
So instead, well, I'll get to where they go in a moment, but first we do see a little bit of cigarette smoking man being, oh, I don't know. I think we're starting to get to those episodes where he looks a little bit less competent. Like the first
Oh.
season, first two seasons, it's like he's this creepy badass behind the scenes who can like control everything, puppet master sort of creepy thing. Whereas now that we have the syndicate, we sort of see all these shadowy figures and that he is perhaps not perfect at his job, as we see him totally lying. And the other syndicate is like, how'd we shoot the wrong Scully sister here, you know? And
Oh.
he's like, oh, it'll be rectified. And the well-manicured man is like, by whom? And I don't know. I love that guy.
I do too.
And Cigarette Smoking Man is like, look, Mulder is dead and I have the tape, so everything's fine. And I'm like, oh. So they're like, hey, we want to see it. And he's like, oh, I'll bring it tomorrow. I'll show you tomorrow. I'll get the tape and give it to you tomorrow. Which I don't know. I just feel like, I guess I'm sure they see through that because how could they not? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, no, that's pretty amusingly incompetent though, to like that
Yeah.
seems like a pretty obvious lie.
It seems like the sort of thing like, okay, so I don't want to turn this into a publishing
Lord of the
industry
Rings.
gossip
Oh.
podcast. It's already a secret Lord of the Rings
Yeah.
podcast. So I can't let this go too far down the rabbit hole of publishing industry gossip, but
Sure.
there was a whole thing where a debut novelist for 2024 created fake accounts and was review bombing other debuts on Goodreads, giving them one star, pretending to
Oh
be other
my
people,
God.
especially people who had a lot of buzz and especially people of color. So that's nice.
Oh my God.
And so she produced screenshots between a conversation with her and a friend, she said, who she knew from some fandom site, and said the friend had done that thinking it would be helpful to her.
Okay.
And there's like this, I saw the screenshots. They're, I mean, I'm like, you got a book deal? I don't know. That's really
Yeah,
bitchy, but
it's pretty.
they were not convincingly written screenshots.
Well, and like, no, I think it's fair to be bitchy because she sounds like a terrible
Yeah,
person.
fair enough. Yeah, all
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
No, it is pretty shocking. I have had people try to scam the nonprofit foundation that I run, and like the I don't know. Some like I just want to be like, you really can't Photoshop that better. Like you really like that. Like it just looks so
God.
obvious. Do you not
God.
see that?
I wonder if it's a numbers game that they're like, I will just try to scam everyone and then someone will
Maybe.
be dumb enough to fall for it. But it's
Maybe.
people running a nonprofit. They're presumably somewhat savvy about, I don't know. It's not like just calling random numbers.
Right.
Anyway, the screenshots had a conversation that was, I don't know, pretty ridiculous, where she's, how dare you do this? I lost all trust in you. I just feel so sick inside. And I don't know.
Oh
It's
my
real
God.
bad. So then people are like, oh, okay, cool. So that's somebody you've known for years. That's why she did this for you. Show us any other screenshot with the conversation with this person. And she was like, well, I'm busy. I'll have to show you tomorrow. And I mean, by then it was further gone, but I just was like, that's cigarette smoking man's move.
Yeah.
That's the same move. So Scully and Mulder head to this greenhouse with a bunch of orchids, and tending to them is Victor Klemper. And Scully is very harsh to him, and mean, and it's good.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I've confronted my demons about what I've done. Soon I will die too. And Mulder's like, look, my dad is in this photo. What were you doing? What is this project? Is my father a murderer? And he goes, do you know Napier's constant? This picture was taken at Stockholm Mining Company. And that's all he'll tell them.
Okay.
Do you know Napier's constant?
No, I think I remember where it's going in this episode. But I have no idea what I'm assuming it's a number because
It is.
constants are numbers. But that's all I've got. Is it that, wait, hold on. It's not the 2.7 something, right?
It is.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so
Oh.
happy. This is especially impressive because that is usually known as Euler's constant.
Oh, well.
It is more called Napier's constant by the British. And so I
Oh.
was doing a little bit of research into this, and I found this paper on this like Mathematical Society of America, something like that, about kind of the history. I never thought about, well, what is that constant, that 2.781, et cetera, number. It's a series. So it's 1 plus 1 over 1 plus 1 over 1 times 2 plus 1 over 1 times 2 times 3 plus 1 over 1 times 2
Oh.
times 3 times 4
Huh.
into
Why?
infinity.
Like, why?
Like, why bother to do that?
Yeah, what's it used
It
for?
has something, it's used a lot in logarithms, right? So like e to the
Oh, right, it's
x or
E,
whatever,
right?
that's e.
Yeah,
It's lowercase e.
why I know it. Yeah.
And the e does not stand for Euler, even though we mostly call it that. And
Why would
and
E
I'm
stand for Euler?
oh, that's how his name is spelled. Sorry, Euler. You always use the fourth letter in a word as its initial. God, I didn't even think about it. But here's the thing. I looked up this paper and I'm reading it, and I see it was written in 2010 by do you recognize the name Amy Shell Gelash?
Yes, but I don't know
Because
how.
she's your coworker?
What?
Well, maybe not anymore, but Amy, what, I couldn't say that last name. Amy SG, at Beloit College, wrote this paper.
Wait, really?
And I just stumbled
Oh,
upon it today.
no way. Whoa, no kidding. In 2010, is this what discipline?
Math.
Math. Okay.
Yeah, so you,
Yeah.
yeah, I
And
know
this
how it is,
predate, I
but
think she must predate me. But whoa. Huh. No kidding. That's
I
awesome.
was like, so that was exciting.
Wow. Huh. We are small but mighty.
Yeah,
Or,
so good work.
average. Yeah. Great. Cool.
Victor Klemperer calls a well-manicured man and is like, hey, they just came to see me. the cigarette smoking man's not in the room. And well-manicured man is like, well, Mulder's alive. And then the other guy, I don't know, the kind of leader dude is like, oh, we're gonna call our friends who will handle this more satisfactorily. Which is to say with a whole bunch of guns.
Sure.
We see Mrs. Scully at the hospital. And Albert has gone there as sort of with a message from Scully to be like, look, I'm here to be with you and your daughter. I
How did
wonder,
he get
like,
to DC?
I don't know.
Okay, I mean
I
car
thought
or
maybe I
plane,
missed that.
presumably.
It's the US. It
Huh.
probably wasn't by rail.
Yeah.
Not that it would be
Okay.
at that distance. But yeah, I don't know what he's doing there. And I also feel like, I don't know, was he compensated for his time? I like if I'd
Yeah.
be like, well, I want to help out, but also I don't know. Maybe he's, I mean, he did look like he was retired, maybe. He was like, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure they paid for his plane fare. I mean, it's also pretend, but I just felt concerned about Albert, like, and his free time. I
Yeah,
guess he did
that's
just
fair.
pray over Mulder and save his life, so maybe he's kind of invested, you know.
Yeah, maybe. He
I'm
seems like a very
just
nice guy.
Kind of looking out for him.
Yeah.
Albert is gonna pray over Melissa, and but he seems pretty concerned. But Mulder and Scully, they go off to find this Stockholm mining company. It's in rural West Virginia.
Oh, I
It
remember
is,
this.
this has like classic X-Files moments.
Yep, very
Like,
creepy.
they find in this old giant industrial building, they find some brand new high-tech doors, and one of them opens using 2718 as the code. They
Yeah.
get in, and then right before they open the door, it cuts to cigarette smoking man opening the door to Skinner's office, and Skinner's like, oh, so hey, I might have found this tape. But it could fall into the wrong hands, and cigarette smoking man is like, oh, you want to make a deal, but I'm not going to make a deal with you. But Skinner is very like, oh, I'm just telling you, he seems pretty in control. We're back to Mulder and Scully there. Do you remember what is in behind that door?
I don't want to spoil something that could be coming up because I don't remember what's behind the door. I remember something that happens while they're in there.
Gotcha.
I'm going to do a
Speaking
motion with
of,
my hand.
oh, in a bit, yeah. Ooh, yeah. but I forgot to mention something that Mulder makes a crack about when they're looking at these different high-tech doors. He goes, "I'll take door number one, Monty," which I just like to bring up the Monty Hall problem anytime I can because I am obsessed with it.
This is right. You had mentioned this before we started recording. When you say Monty, when you say door number one, now I'm vaguely remembering what this is, but why don't you explain it?
So it is a math problem, brain teaser sort of thing based on the show Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall as a host. And the idea is that there are three doors, behind one of which is a car, and you have to choose a door to try to get the car. And the host opens a different door and shows you that there isn't a car behind it. So let's say you chose door number three, just for example's sake. The host opens door number two and goes up, no car behind door number two. So the question is, should you switch to door number one, or does it not matter?
No, you shouldn't. It doesn't matter, right?
No, you should
Wait,
switch.
you
It
should
does
switch.
matter. That's the thing about it.
Okay, hold on. Let me think through this. Okay, so you have three doors. You have a 33% chance of opening the door with the car, right? Am I thinking through this correctly so far?
You are. I will say this. I cannot quite consistently get my brain to make sense of this. What I can do is, and I've done it, I think the Great Dane once, I was in some kind of decent, nice bar with napkins, is write down every possibility and calculate the probability that way, since it's only three
Sure.
doors. So
Yeah.
I can prove it via brute force, but it'll never feel right to me.
Okay,
So,
let me
okay, so
think
we've
for a
got a
second.
33% chance.
Right. Okay, so then we open a door and it for sure is not there. Or wait, so we choose, so let's say we choose door number two. Okay.
We don't know if
And
there's a car
then
back there or not.
right, and then he opens door number one and there for sure is no car or we don't know.
For sure. He
For sure.
shows
Okay.
you.
He
And if it
shows you
helps
no.
visualize it, in some versions, there's a goat behind the doors that don't have a car.
Oh, I do like that. Okay.
Because then I start going, maybe I want the goat. And then it confuses me further.
yeah, no, I'm not. I was starting to debate that internally myself. Okay, so there's he opens a door and there's a goat. Okay. So now the probability is not 33%.
No.
Because it's now 50%? That doesn't sound right, though. Well, yeah,
Yeah,
no,
it's
50%
weird.
that it would be behind doors two or three.
Wait. No, it's 100% that it's behind doors two or three.
Well, right, but it's 50% that it would be behind door two,
Oh, one.
50% that it would
Oh,
be
gotcha.
behind door three. So is the idea that you
Yes.
would split, huh?
The thing is, he knows there's no goat behind one. He knows where the goat is.
Yeah.
So he's chosen
Well,
a
there's
door that
two
doesn't have a
goats,
goat.
right?
Yeah, there's two goats. Yeah,
Yeah,
sorry. He knows where the car
okay.
is.
Yeah.
Okay, 50%. I'll stand by that.
Right.
But it's that's so that's the thing. That seems right, but I believe it's wrong. Okay?
Okay.
Because then you go,
Huh.
oh, you have a 50-50 chance either way. But I don't think that's
Right.
right. That's what I
I see.
recall about it. If you start analyzing it, all right, so I'm going to just quote a little bit and then we can stop this because it's insane. All right, they say, before the host opens a door, there is a one-third probability that the car is behind each door. If the car is behind door one, the host can open either door two or door three. So the probability that the car is behind door one And the host opens door three is 1/3 times 1/2, which equals 1/6.
Oh, okay. Keep
If the car
going.
is behind, if the car is behind door two, recall the player has picked door one, the host must open door three, such the probability that the car is behind door two and the host opens door three is 1/3 times one, which is 1/3. These are the only cases where the host opens door three. So if the player has picked door one and the host opens door three, the car is twice as likely to be behind door two as door one. The key is that the car is the key is that if the car is behind door two, the host must open door three. But if the car is behind door one, the host can open either door.
Okay, that helps a little bit.
That helps
I
me
would like
for a
to see
moment. I can't hold it for
graphically.
that long in my head. Oh, yeah, you should look on the Wikipedia page about this problem. There's some excellent graphics, including a really cute goat.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
So
Mulder
it's an
picks door
Mulder
number
picks a
one.
door and they go through it. Yeah. And it's a whole bunch of files in filing
Yes,
cabinets.
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, I mean, I feel almost like if you have to guess what's behind a door in the X-Files, you have a 50-50 chance, I think, of it being either tanks full of fluid or medical files. And so today it's medical files,
All
and they
right.
find people's like birth certificates and smallpox vaccine records and tissue samples. So they go to the year that Scully was born, which was 1964. And which I was like, okay, so she was supposed to be like 28 when the show started. And I know Gillian Anderson was quite a bit younger, but I think that makes sense. Anyhow, they find Scully. So then, of course, where does Mulder go next?
Samantha.
Samantha. But, and by the way, think about it. Like rows and rows and rows and rows of files. In the 90s, that seems reasonable. Nowadays, I'd be like, we can't just scan these. Like, it's wild. Like that, like it seems inevitable and natural to just have all these paper copies.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. Yeah.
And they're just in like manila folders, you know, for
The
filing.
worst part is that there are still paper things you sometimes need to do. And
Oh,
you know,
really?
that seems even more ridiculous.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
oh
don't
God, it
know.
really
You
does.
know.
Yeah, and yeah, anytime it's like, oh, I have to mail a check somewhere, I want to be like, I have to mail a check?
Yeah,
Like, are you
right.
kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah. When I was just on vacation with our mom, and she accompanied me to a conference, and there was, I can't remember what, but there was something we wanted to know, and she was like, and I was trying to find it online. She's like, I'll just call. And she was like, I'll do that because I can call people. And I was like, yeah, okay, fair.
I feel like I've had that same interaction with her. But I
Yeah.
also feel like occasionally I am that person where I'm like, well, we want to know if this is open. Let's just call them. I'll do it.
I'm rarely that person.
I used to be the person in charge of ordering pizzas, and now we just order them online. But
You were the person in charge of ordering pizzas.
I was,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Which reminds me of one time when you ordered Pizza Pit at like 2 a.m. and which is a pretty terrible pizza restaurant, if you will, in Madison.
Joint, pizza joint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was, maybe one of our neighbors, but you said like they were like, oh, Pizza Pit, and you were like said something about, yeah, I tried to find other places, but you know, couldn't find anything else open. And they were like, oh, you must not have tried very hard or something like that
Oh,
regarding just how terrible Pizza Pit is.
Yeah,
But
I
yeah,
don't.
that's a good service to do for us. Thank you
Yeah,
for
I your
your years of
service.
service.
Yeah, thank yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. It's paper like manila file folders, and there's labels with people's names on them, but Mulder sees that Sam's name is a sticker. He peels off it and hit I'm sorry. Do you see that?
Yeah.
What am I going to do it again? We are on Zoom and I was gesturing with manila file folders and a big thumbs up appeared. Oh,
There
there it is. Oh, fireworks. Fireworks are happening. Oh my God. Okay. They peel off the label and Mulder's name is underneath it. And I just felt like we couldn't peel that off.
Right.
We couldn't scratch it out. We couldn't grab a new folder. I guess they don't care. They're not planning for anybody to see it. But yeah, they're like, well, we'll just reuse the same folder. It's a different Mulder.
Yeah.
So Mulder sees this and his reaction, again, in Mulder fashion, what does he do? He runs. He tells Scully, wait there. And he runs away, and because he sees there's a light coming through the windows of the factory. And so he runs out and leaves Scully in the scary hallway. And this is when she's in the dark. All she has is a flashlight. Plinky music starts, and beings are rushing past her.
I remember that part. That was the, yeah. I did like a little person running when I did a hand gesture.
Mimed it.
Yeah.
Which they
yeah.
they don't have like a alien emoji that pops up on the screen that runs by. Yeah. They should. Maybe Zoom great. Will get that in the next next update.
Oh man, how creepy. Yeah. I remember her like kind of like being like pushed to the side a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And seeing like all these like little feet run past.
Yeah.
Basically.
And this time I felt like I remember being creeped out, but what I really feel like now is kind of protective of them and like, okay, go guys, go do good. Because I mean, like, you know, we saw their bodies in that train car and like experiments. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you go do your thing. And indeed,
yeah,
you see
get out
one,
of here.
Like they find this door and the door opens and you can see the alien silhouetted in the light. And then Mulder has rushed outside and a UFO, I mean, it's a UFO, like end of story. It's a big ship thing in the air, flies over the building, and he like looks up at it, and I'm like, I think I've seen this image of him looking up with the light on him in like a lot of promo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, like, end of story, we have seen a UFO, no way two ways about it. So
this reminds me your protective feelings towards the aliens, and the fact that you remember it being scary, but didn't this time. Have you been paying attention to the man versus bear debate online?
Yes, and I would love to discuss it.
Yes, let's. So the idea is asking people, if you were alone by yourself in a forest, would you rather come across a bear or a stranger that's a man? Right? That's the deal, right?
Yep. That's the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I haven't officially answered this.
Because oh, I have. I know for sure.
Okay. See, I feel like I have so many more questions before I can make a educated answer. And maybe that's part of the point is that what would I answer without knowing?
Yeah.
But like my questions are like, is it a dude in a flannel? And there's clearly a cabin that it seems like he owns and he's like chopping wood. Does he have a chainsaw? Is he just wandering in the woods and there's no sign of civilization? Is he looking, I mean, here's the thing. If he looks like a hiker and he's got like a backpack on, but he's alone. I mean, I don't love that either, but you know what I also don't like is bears. I mean, I like bears. I'm pro bear, but I don't want them to get me. I mean, I think that in general, I am afraid of strange men in the woods, but I'm also afraid of bears in the woods. Like I am, and I'm trying to be honest about it because like,
I
guess it's also
that.
A probability sort of thing where I'm like, how I was thinking of the question is the average bear is probably much more likely to kill me than the average man, but that's not actually the question.
No,
the question is the average man alone in the woods approaching me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if you just, this is an interesting episode about probability. I love this.
It's great to talk about probability.
Yeah.
And like, are there some types of bears that would not fuck me up? Because I feel like there aren't.
There are types of bears that would be less likely to. I mean, a black bear would be a lot less likely than a polar bear to attack you.
Sure. Man, if I'm in the woods down here and I see a polar bear, oof, what is that about?
I feel very conclusively and strongly bear every time, 100%
really?
Of the time bear, just based on the probability of who is attacking whom stories you hear about people randomly in the woods. Maybe I have been exposed to a lot more true crime than you.
Definitely you
I mean,
have.
I have,
Definitely you have. Yeah.
I mean,
Podcasts, not in her life, to be clear.
yes.
Yeah.
Although, I mean,
Or reading things or whatever, watching things.
well, and I mean, my work sometimes crosses
Oh,
a bit
sure,
of the
your work,
line
yeah.
into, yeah.
So
Yeah,
my thinking is this, though. If I were to have to fight someone, I have a better shot against a man than a bear.
See, this is the fallacy of the problem, though, because people are
Really?
assuming it's not, the question is not who would you survive an attack better from? The question is who is more likely to attack you?
Well, isn't it just a question of who would you prefer to run into?
Right. And you would prefer to run into the person or animal that would be less likely to attack you.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. This is a
Yeah.
probability question. Or if your belief is that they're equally likely to attack you, then you choose the one you could fight better.
Right.
But I mean, I guess I
Or
feel
scare
like,
off better.
can you imagine just like banging two sticks together at a man, being like, go on, get like
If
garbage
only
can
that would
lids or
work.
something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Rawr.
And also,
I will also say, if I were to be killed, I'd 100% support being killed by the bear more than the
yes,
man.
exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I at least there would be like, well, I guess the bear needed this. I don't know. Like, and
Yeah,
the
maybe it
worst
can eat
case,
me.
right.
Like,
Maybe its cubs can eat me, like,
yeah.
And also, like, worst case scenario with the bear is that it kills you. I don't know that worst case
Oh, that is a
scenario.
good point.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there could be a lot of bad in between a quick
Yeah.
death.
I mean,
I
this
feel.
also reminds me of when we talked about the gift of fear, and you pointed out that
Yes.
if you need someone, you go
Yes.
to someone because the odds are much better than someone going to you.
Exactly. Yeah, the odds of seeing a guy by himself in the woods,
Yeah. I'm
like,
so sorry. Oh my God, this is amazing. I've told you I watched the show Jet Lag. It's incredible. It's this travel game show sort of
oh
thing.
yeah.
And so it's these like my stepson introduced me to it. It's on YouTube. It's like three dudes in their 20s. I did not think I would enjoy a show done by three dudes in their 20s on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. It's incredible. I am obsessed with it. And their latest season was hide and go seek in Switzerland. And
Ooh.
so how it worked was the hider would get a 2.5 hour head start. I think they started in Lucerne, and then they would text the hider questions, and then the hider would answer them. There was like a list of questions they could ask, like, what is your latitude? Like, is your latitude higher or lower than ours? Are you in the same canton as us? What's the language? Take a picture of the nearest train station. And there are all these extra rules, but and then for every question they asked, the hider would get coins that then they could use to curse the people trying to find him. So then like there was like a William Tell challenge where like they couldn't continue on their journey until one of them threw something and hit an apple off the head of the other. So like goofy
Yeah.
challenges that'll slow them down. Anyway, there was a lot of hiding outside because they couldn't hide anywhere where it would like inconvenience the Swiss and like make them look
Yeah.
like assholes. So
That's
one
good.
of them found this secluded park and hid under a slide
Oh,
alone in
God.
the wintertime. And it was Ben who, I don't know, I can never decide if he's my favorite or if Adam is my favorite. He's one of my favorites. And but he's like, I think it should be allowed if you see a man hiding under a slide alone that you could kill him. And then the next hiding thing, this guy Sam hid alone in the woods for hours.
Oh
So, like, I feel like there is this
my
small possibility that the man in the woods that you find is a member of Jet Lag.
Yes, true.
Also, do you remember that story from he's come up on the podcast a number of times, Matt Williams, my ex?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I do.
So maybe you can help refresh me on any details I have wrong. And if Matt, if you hear this and we got it wrong, please let us know.
He
We can
was
issue a
taking
correction
a
next
walk
season.
through the McHenry
Ooh.
Dam. Right?
Yeah, which is like a wooded
Or
area. There's paths, but it's very, very heavily wooded. Yeah, like state park.
And I believe he was by himself, right? And
Yes.
he was walking and heard a family coming. Is that right? And didn't want to look like a creep. Like he thought it would look, yeah, this is great. Didn't want to look like a creep and a weirdo
Just
being by
alone
himself alone
standing
in the
in
woods.
the woods. Yeah.
And so I believe he climbed a tree, right?
Yeah.
And ended up like in a tree near the path, waiting for them to pass, worried that now they would look up and see him in a tree instead.
Yeah. So maybe it's the combination of knowing Jet Lag Boys and like that story about Matt hiding in a tree. I feel like maybe less threatened because that's what my background is sharing with me
Sure.
versus all the true crime that you know about. I
Yeah.
feel like probably if somebody is alone in the woods and a man, they're there for a weird reason, or they're doing something weird, or
Yeah.
they're feeling weird about it, but it isn't threatening. I don't know. I'm trying, like, look,
Yeah.
I want to be very clear that I'm not saying we shouldn't be afraid of men.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm well aware. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know
I just think the odds are
statistically,
better.
men probably hurt more people than bears. Oh,
Oh,
for
God,
sure.
for sure. I mean,
Yeah.
like so many times. So, coming from bear attack statistics, bearvault.com, don't know
Did you say Bear
the
Vault?
vault, VAULT.
Okay.
There have been 66 fatal human bear conflicts by black bears, which we're gonna go with black bears because of where we live,
Yeah.
since 1784.
Oh my God. I was going to ask just this year or, and
No,
no.
no.
Okay.
Less than a dozen non-fatal conflicts happen each year, and the vast majority of encounters end with zero bodily contact. With 66, I mean, that's more than 66 years. So,
Yeah.
whereas between 1993, and this is coming from the Department of Justice,
Okay.
Since between 1993 and 2010, well, in 2010, the latter half of that, the rate of non-fatal violent victimization committed by strangers, is about 7.1 per 100 or per thousand, 7.1 per thousand
Per thousand what?
people.
What?
Yeah.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah.
Out of every 1,000 people, every year, seven of those people have a stranger attack them? I don't think that's right.
Yeah, no, this is what this is saying.
I'm seeing that same page. Yeah, in 2010, about 1.8 million non-fatal violent victimizations were committed by strangers. So I
Yeah.
guess, I mean, non-fatal violent, that I'm sure like that includes stuff like
It includes, so it
bar
tells,
fights or like, okay.
right, it says, it gives a list, rape, sexual assault, robbery, aggravated assault, and simple assault,
Okay.
which for some reason
And
that
I,
kind of amuses me, like, oh, it's just a simple assault.
yeah, I
That
don't know
seems
why
like
it
a
makes
weird
me think about
adjective.
simple syrup. I don't know. It's just a basic assault with a little
Yeah.
water and
Boiled down.
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so here's the thing. Although
Yeah.
I was saying I'd choose the man, statistics suggest I've made the wrong choice. Now, I mean,
Would
it
you like to
obviously
choose the other option now?
would I like to switch? I think I would. And I think not, I mean, again, I know a lot of really good, not to be all, not all men, but just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I know some really, really good men. And like, just to be clear, I don't think the average bear and the average man is more likely to attack me. That's not what the thing says. But I think
Right.
the average person in the woods is probably not like Matt, not like the jet lag guys.
Nope. No.
Like, or maybe
Yeah.
not probably, but there's a higher chance than if he's a bear. I don't know. I lost the thread a little bit there.
I know. I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like it, like the likelihood of him being a creep and the likelihood of the bear attacking me, it's probably safer with the bear. Anyway, I mean, I'd be really afraid if I saw a bear, but like it'd also be kind of majestic. If it works out, it would be scary as hell, but also like exhilarating. Like, I don't know.
And if it,
And the
same if
trick, though,
it.
is if you see the cubs, you can't just go cuddle them because the mom will come kill you.
No. Yes. That is
That's the
true.
trick. I don't know. Like that's definitely not what the takeaway from this experiment is supposed to
No.
be. So yeah, I do think that, I mean, the statistic of only 60 deadly bear attacks since the 1700s, okay. I'm like, yeah, but most of us aren't around bears that much. But and
But if
then
you're
you pointed
in the
out that
woods,
the well, like, okay, sure, but like it'd be like, oh, well, 0% of people living in Wisconsin are killed by sharks every year or something like that. And it's
exactly.
like, well, we're not by sharks. But given that I'm in the woods, as you pointed out, most bear encounters are totally nonviolent. I don't know. All of a sudden, I start picturing us like reading a book together or something or having a coffee. Oh my God, it'd be so cute. I mean, that is the thing. So, okay, the
The
polar
bear
bear.
grabs like some honey out of a tree for your tea and
Oh, and the slaw.
gather some berries.
So, just to be clear, there's also slaw. So, grizzly bears are a type of black bear, I believe, or brown bears. They're a type
Or
of.
is it
Okay, because.
no, I think black bears are a type of I don't know. I don't
Yeah,
know.
okay, so
I don't
there's
know.
grizzly bears, there's black bears, there's brown bears. Those are the guys that we might encounter.
Right, grizzly bears are
Maybe
brown
not
bears.
us. Grizzly bears are brown bears. Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Same
And then
thing.
black bears are their own thing. And then, oh, you know, this is really relevant because you know where I'm going this year? I'm going, and this is perfect because this will be our last episode before Europe. I'm going to the European country with the most bears per area, square area. Slovenia, known for its bears. And I'm
No
going in the
kidding.
woods, baby. I don't know why I said baby. But I'm going in the woods. Like we're gonna be doing some outdoorsy stuff. So
Which type? Black bears or
oh,
what?
I was like just trees. not jungle trees. I believe black bears, but
Ooh,
Slovenia bear
cool.
type. Brown bears, actually.
Brown
Yeah,
bears.
brown bears, which I think are, it's the Eurasian brown bear.
Ooh.
It's not the same as a grizzly, but similar.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome.
That's exciting.
We saw evidence of black bears when we were in Tennessee last year, last summer.
Oh, wow.
So cool.
Ooh, wow. Oh, I mean, like, you look at them and you think, I should be able to cuddle you. You should want to hug me, right? Like maybe that's why I shouldn't, why I should choose the man, that my
maybe.
instinct would go, I'm gonna give you a big hug, like I'm Elf with that raccoon or something, you know? So
So, little
I suppose
aliens.
I can wrap up the, yeah. So Scully finds a way out. Oh, some people show up. Of course they do after the
Oh,
ship
right.
leaves. They start shooting up the place like crazy with machine guns. Mulder barely escapes, finds Scully. Scully finds the way out because she saw the aliens leave. And so they get out of there. And where do they go? I want to know if you find this familiar. They go to a little roadside diner called Charlotte's Diner in Crager, Maryland.
Okay, I remember them going to a diner.
Skinner meets them there, and Skinner's like, this place isn't even on the map. How'd you find it? How'd you find it? And Mulder goes, oh, you'd be surprised by what's not on the map in this country. We've talked about this exchange recently-ish on this season of our podcast. Do you remember?
No.
This diner is in Agent of Chaos, the young adult novel
Oh.
about teenage Mulder.
Really?
Yeah, he goes to this diner in that book with his
Oh
friends when
my
they're looking
gosh.
for that serial killer.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I like that. So obviously it's not how it was written, but now I can imagine, oh, Mulder knows this diner. He went here when he was a kid, a teen.
Oh,
So
that's kind of
yeah,
cool.
that's kind of cool. So they talk. Skinner is like, I have the tape. We can make a deal. And Mulder's like, we can't make a deal. We need answers. And Scully's like, no real point in getting answers if we're dead. And then she's
Sure.
like, I want to see my sister. Like, she
Yeah.
needs to go see Melissa at the hospital. So she gives Skinner permission to make the deal. They all leave in the same car. Where'd their car go? I don't know. They get to the hospital, and or Skinner gets to the hospital, and he talks to Mrs. Scully and talks to Albert, and there's a man in the hall in a suit clearly watching them.
Never good.
So Skinner goes to talk to that guy or whatever, and they fight in the stairwell, and oh
Oh.
shit, Krycek is there. And we don't really
Oh.
know what happened in between with Skinner talking to different people, how he got there, whatever, but Krycek and that dude beat the hell out of Skinner, take the
Oh.
tape, and leave.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Cry check.
not good. So what do? They go to a liquor store. They park outside it. It's daytime. And the driver goes in, and then the guy in the back seat says to Krycek, I could use a beer. Do you want anything? And he says it real weird.
Oh, this is vaguely familiar.
And I
Okay.
was like, what is going on? I don't remember this guy. Why does he want a beer suddenly? And Krycek's like, no, I'm fine. But he looks kind of weirded out. And then he looks at the like clock, radio clock in the car, and it's like
Oh,
flashing 12. And he's like, oh my God. And he realizes the car is about to explode. It's been wired with a bomb. So he starts running and running. Car
God.
explodes.
Oh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I see these
So.
things and think this is why I need to become a better runner. I mean, this is, I would just be
God,
so
that's an
pathetic
interesting
in that
point.
situation. Yeah.
I think the adrenaline would make you pretty fast.
Yeah, I think you're right. But the shoes
I
I'd
think
be
that
wearing would probably slow me
I
down considerably.
think you'd want to take them off. You might end up that's going to slow you down too. This is where I just wear running shoes. So,
I
or,
know.
not running, but no. And also, this is not why. It's because they're comfortable, but it's not because I'm afraid I'll have to run from a bomb. It's just because I don't like uncomfortable shoes. So we see that Mulder and Scully have, while Skinner went to the hospital, they went to the greenhouse to talk to Victor Klemperer again. But Klemperer is not there. Well, Manicured Man is. Klemperer died of a heart attack recently. Oh, these things happen. And he kind of says, as you might know, there was a spaceship recovered in New Mexico, coinciding with the end of World War II, coinciding with Operation Paperclip. He mentions Mengele, and he says, and he kind of is pointing at the flowers in the greenhouse, and he says, oh, Klemperer, he really enjoyed his orchids. He was creating hybrids. And he looks at them meaningfully. Yeah. And Mulder's like, oh my God, Klemperer was making alien human hybrids, and the government was collecting info on everyone. And Scully's like, he's telling you everything you want to hear. Don't trust him,
Also
And
true.
yeah, I'm not sure who to believe here, but well, Manicured Man says, Samantha was an insurance policy because Bill Mulder didn't want to do this anymore. And it was like, well, we took her and we could kill her if you don't keep doing this. And Mulder's like, why her and not me? Which is sad. And so as they leave, they're kind of like, is there more? And he's like, oh, more than you'll ever know. And then Krycek calls Cigarette Smoking Man on his cell phone while he's with his syndicate pals and is like, hey, surprise, I'm alive. And so Cigarette Smoking Man's trying to play it all cool. And he's like, oh, good. Good. And Krycek's like pretending everything's fine. Where are you? And he's like, you'll never find me. And if I ever so much as feel your presence again, I will make you a very famous man. And Cigarette Smoking Man hangs up and is like, oh, good news. The tape was destroyed in a car bomb. There's no deal to make. All is well, clearly sweating it. Mulder goes into his mom's at 2 a.m. I did not expect this crucial scene, but oof. Oh, he wakes his mom up and he's like, did dad ever ask you to make a choice between me and Samantha? And
Oh,
she at
God.
first she starts being like, I told you I can't remember anything from that time. I can't remember anything. And then he keeps pressing her and she goes, I couldn't choose. It was your father's choice and I hated him for it and I hate him still. Ah,
Oh.
yeah. Oh,
Oh man.
awful. Awful.
Wow.
So then we get to famous Skinner scene. I can't believe I like totally forgot. And we got to the scene and I went, oh my God, of course. Skinner's in his office, looking a little bit bruised, but he's doing okay. And he calls in the cigarette smoking man, and Skinner's like, we need to make a deal because I need to guarantee Mulder and Scully's safety for the contents of the tape. And he's like, the tape blew up. You can't threaten me. You know, there's no deal. And he starts to leave and Skinner goes, I'm not finished yet. And he opens a door and Albert walks out. Do you remember this scene?
No, I don't.
Me and Amanda used to say this all the time. We loved it. And cigarette smoking man goes, what is this? And Skinner goes, this is when you pucker up and kiss my ass.
Yeah.
And he tells cigarette smoking man, Albert has, because remember it was in code. It was in Navajo.
Right.
That's why they got to him. Just to remind our listeners, that's why they were talking to Albert to begin with, is the whole tape was in Navajo. And they say, Albert has memorized the tape. And Skinner's like, no, you might be thinking he's an old man. We could kill him. But
right.
In the oral tradition of his people. And that's the part I remember that Albert has told all sorts of other people and they've memorized it. And so he's like, unless you want to basically kill all the Navajo men in three states, you
Whoa.
Can't be sure. It's like one phone call and,
oh man,
and that's it. And so Skinner pulls it off and Albert helps him. And I mean, it's a pretty good power play by Skinner.
Yeah.
I loved
oh,
it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, then we go to the hospital and find out Melissa died during surgery. And Scully is there and she had seen her, but she's like filled with grief. And they talk about how they're both going to go back to work because they both need something to kind of like work towards in their lives as they deal with this grief. And Mulder's like, look, I'm more sure than ever that the truth is somewhere in the X-Files. And Scully's like, look, I've heard the truth and now I want answers. Episode end.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah, Cryjack, man.
I was just like,
oh,
there's something so satisfying about seeing people try to blow him up. You know?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Like, there we go. He's a tough guy to kill, but you know, keep giving it your best shot. So
Yeah. Oh man. So do they know who tried to kill Melissa? I can't remember.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
No, I don't believe
just
that
they thought she was Scully.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they know that like it was at the command of cigarette smoking man and his cronies, but they don't know it was Krycek.
Right. Okay. Okay. Just trying to keep track what they are currently blaming him for. Yeah. Wow, man. Good episode.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I remember watching that one.
Yeah,
a lot.
I know.
It's
same.
A good one.
Like it was a good one. And I mean, I did think the stuff at the beginning was a little, again, heavy-handed with that sort of, we're going to use Navajo stuff to kind of give the episode extra like mysticism or whatever. But as you talked about, like, also like that legend of the White Buffalo Woman is true. But I also felt like that added almost nothing to this episode, having that in there. Like, I kind of feel like that I wasn't really into that. What I thought was awesome was Albert doing stuff at the hospital, doing stuff with Skinner, you know? So.
Yeah. I can't remember what happens to him, but I'm concerned for him.
Yeah. I don't know.
I can't,
I don't know.
I can't remember if anything happens or we see him again or.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we don't have a story.
No, we don't.
I have a retelling of a story.
Ooh,
real
okay.
quick. I was listening to the podcast My Favorite Murder recently, and I've kind of stopped listening to their like main episodes for a lot of reasons that I don't need to go on about. But they have minisodes where they just read listener emails, and those I still listen to. And so there was one recently where they had been talking and like asking for stories about deathbed confessions.
Oh, interesting.
And this woman wrote in, and her... I can't remember exactly the details, but her grandfather or grandfather-in-law or something like that, I think it was an in-law, had worked for the CIA or had worked for the government and had been doing, can't remember for what branch, but there was like mild reason to be not suspicious of his work, but like it was classified.
Okay.
It was, you know, and his last words, like some of his last words before he died, they said like, you know, is there anything you can tell us or whatever? And he said, we are not alone.
What? That's awesome.
Which like could be a prank,
Which is
you
also
know,
awesome.
like which is also awesome.
Fair play. Yeah. Oh my God.
So that's all
Wow.
but I wanted to
That's
share that.
awesome. Oh my God. Ah, that's great.
So yeah, that's it for season two.
Yeah.
We will be back once we're both
Yeah,
stateside.
and season three, well, I mean, we're already in season three for the X-Files, but our season three will start with DPO, which is the episode. Do you
Oh,
remember who's
that's
in that
familiar.
episode?
No.
Giovanni Ribisi and Jack Black. Yeah,
Really?
before they got super famous.
Wait, is this the what's it? The like gaming? Not gaming, like
No, it's not like the VR one. No, I believe that Giovanni Ribisi's character has telekinetic powers.
Right. Is it, aren't they at like a
Oh, they
God, what are those
might
places called?
arcade. They
Arcade?
might be at an
Doesn't it
arcade,
take place?
but like there, it takes
Okay.
place in a bunch of different locations.
Okay. Awesome. And
Yeah.
I'll start with that.
Yeah. And in the meantime, please share our podcast and follow us. And August 20th, buy my book. Mighty Millie Novak. It's
Yes.
YA. It's roller derby. There's
Absolutely.
not too many secret mysteries in it. I should claim there are, so then people have to search for it and buy copies. But no, I'll tell you, listeners, there's nothing to do with aliens in the book.
Yeah, but you should pre-order
Yeah, and
it
as we decided
because
already
it's
that
great.
my book that I'm finishing editing right now, that the main character is secretly a bison. So I got to finish that. So yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah, that's the twist. She was a bison all along. But yeah, Mighty Millie Novak, August 20th. Buy my goddamn book. It's at elizabeth-holden.com, and then you can, read about me. I mean, it's also anywhere you
You can
buy
also
books.
search
Yeah, just
on,
find it anywhere. It's
right,
anywhere you
yeah.
buy books. But yeah, follow us. We want to believe pod at gmail.com. Send us listener stories, creepy stuff that's happened to you, creepy stuff that's happened to other people that you want to tell us about. And if you want to weigh in on
Until
the
next time.
man versus bear thing or anything
Oh, yeah.
else, in if you have, hey, look, throwback, if you have tips for how I can improve my vertical leap, whatever. And find us on
Sure.
Instagram at We Want to Believe Pod.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.